Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come."
You're noticing how some things have grown and got a little out of hand even during lockdown. I want to get the giggles out at the start of this sermon. I didn't notice it happening. It was right in front of my eyes. It was too slow to notice, really. And you don't notice it changing when it's right there, do you? But what was once nice and neat and trimmed has become wild and unruly and big. I didn't have to do anything about it. It didn't take any special shampoo. It's just grown all by itself. Because with due apologies to Chris, that's what hair does, isn't it? It just grows. When there's no barber around, it grows. It's what it does. You're in Mark's gospel, and Jesus, in our passage today, he says, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. It grows. That's what it does." You're in Mark's gospel. We've got to Mark chapter 4. And Jesus began his ministry in chapter 1 like this, with the words, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And in the person of God, in the person of Jesus, the kingdom of God has come near to us. The rule of God in our hearts and in our society, making us like Jesus, shaping the world to be just and kind and peaceful, that world we all want, the kingdom of God has come near. And now Jesus is teaching us what the kingdom of God is like in parables, so that those who want to get to know their creator, those who want to obey the rule of the creator of the universe, will draw close to Jesus to do it. And through this little parable this morning, parable of the growing seed, we see that the kingdom of God is growing. So look down with me at Mark chapter 4, verse 26. "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground." The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. The kingdom of God, which surely is powerful and glorious and mighty, and it's announced with trumpets and with stampeding horses, and the earth trembles and the earth melts. Kingdom of God. The kingdom of God grows, surprisingly, because that scattering of seed is unimpressive. It's nondescript. And people who listen to the audio of this sermon afterwards without this video, they won't know what's happening in those pauses. It's so quiet. It goes unnoticed. And that's scandalous, really, when you think about it. The rule and the reign of the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty is like a man in springtime hoping for flowers in his garden, which won't impress the Jews or scare the Romans or grab the attention of our liberal elite, will it? It's what nobody expected and nobody prayed for. But we know that it's right because Jesus himself came humble and gentle and riding on a donkey. The king himself came riding on a donkey, came to die. And we pray for a big bang kingdom come with a lightning bolt and a disembodied voice. But it doesn't tend to happen like that. The ministries we're involved in often look weak. Prayer meetings in echoing halls. Evangelistic courses where your friends duck out at the last minute. Lukewarmness. Because there's a football match on. Because I'm tired. Because I couldn't be bothered. It's a surprise that the kingdom of God grows at all. But it does. A man scatters seed on the ground. And then, in verse 27, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. The kingdom of God grows, surprisingly, and it grows automatically. Night and day, he sleeps and he gets up. The seed sprouts and the seed grows. Is the man awake or asleep? Is it day or night? The seed's indifferent. The seed doesn't care. The kingdom of God just grows. It's only got one direction. It's only got one gear. The kingdom of God grows. It doesn't rely on you. There's no big Kitchener poster that says the kingdom of God needs you. It will grow. It is growing. Regardless. So when you're trying and stumbling to share the gospel with a friend, or when you're prepping a growth group study and hardly anyone turns up, there's no secret ingredient. There's no strategy or technique that you need that will make your evangelism do the trick. The power is in the gospel itself. And when you're struggling again and again with the same sin and it's not getting better, when you fall into temptation again and you wonder if you'll ever change, if the slog ever stops, there's no discipline, no training, no computer software that will change your heart. But there is power in the gospel itself. When the word of God is sown, the kingdom of God is grown. The gospel, these seeds, they're magic beans. Like weeds in your garden or hair on my head, they grow big automatically. No assembly required. And so we can pray for God's kingdom to come. We can pray for lives to be changed. We can pray for ourselves to be changed and our world to be changed in full excited expectation that God is already on it. That God delights to answer that prayer. I'm a youth leader at Hope Church Sutton, and sometimes people say to me, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do a week at work and then on a Friday night go and look after a group of teenagers. And normally I say, actually, I love it. I really enjoy it. I look forward to it. It's such a privilege. And I genuinely do feel like that. But occasionally I'll have a Friday where I think, actually, I don't want to do this either. Because maybe work was stressful that week, maybe the hours were particularly long, maybe the teenagers are playing up, most likely. And this Friday was one of those nights. I don't want to be there, I'm going through the motions. And the leader who's giving the talk is not that confident. They're new to this. It's not really their thing. And I'm ashamed to say it. I'm not really listening. She does fine. It's done. Small group discussions after. I'm with a couple of the boys. The leader's written out the questions for us. We're talking about repentance. I've not had to do the prep. I'm coasting. I say, have you ever said sorry to God for the wrong things you've done? One of the boys says, yes. One of the boys says, no, I don't think so. I'm surprised. I say, do you feel like you need to say sorry to God for the wrong things you've done? He says, yes. I'm blindsided. I say, do you want to say sorry to God now? He says, yes. And I'm trying not to cry, actually. And we pray a prayer of repentance. And afterwards, when they've gone, and I'm sitting in the silence by myself, thinking, did he just become a Christian right in front of me? And I wasn't even ready. I wasn't even concentrating. The kingdom of God grows automatically. It's August now, and all the church programs pause. And some of you have worked hard all year at Tiddlers, in growth groups, in the kids' work. And you can take a break and rest. Because the kingdom of God doesn't depend on you. It won't stop when you stop. You don't have to stress. You can say, enough. You can turn your phone off during your staycation. You're not the Lord of the harvest. You can rest well, knowing that your resting is not a waste. The kingdom of God grows automatically. It's inevitable. But it doesn't happen in a snap. The kingdom of God grows gradually. Look down with me at verse 28. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. The kingdom of God is advancing slowly, bit by bit, step by step, stalk and then head and then kernel. There's no big bang, however much you want one. But it is growing. And people will stall and they'll backslide and they'll outright turn away. But the kingdom of God is still growing. Just because you can't see the fruit doesn't mean it's not there. The distant relative who visits once a year and says to the kids, oh my, look how much you've grown. Which the mum never says. Because she's close, she's there all the time. And the growth is gradual. And she doesn't see it. But the kids are growing. This didn't happen overnight. The kingdom of God grows gradually. And lastly, the kingdom of God grows abundantly. The kingdom of God grows abundantly. See in verse 29, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. The kingdom of God grows surprisingly, automatically, gradually, and then it yields an abundant harvest. There's a celebration, there's a party, there's a feast. It's guaranteed. And it's August, and maybe you're finishing a long year of ministry, a long year of work, and the fields look barren to you. Family members still hard-hearted. Colleagues still abrasive. Hair a little greyer. Body a little wobblier. Sins the same. And you're tempted to doubt that there's a harvest at all. But Jesus says today, when the grain is ripe, the harvest has come. The timing of the Lord of the harvest is not our timing, it has to be said. I'm in a hurry. I would do it right now. But his timing is perfect. Harvest time will be worth the wait. We can work hard now because we know that our labour is not in vain. The kingdom of God grows abundantly. The kingdom of God grows, it's just what it does. It should be a cliche. It should be like the proverbial boys will be boys. The leopard can't change its spots. Well, what did you expect? The kingdom of God grows. Every 3-year-old knows that. Martin Luther King said that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. We're reminded at the moment, aren't we, that there is racism and oppression and injustice in the world, and we wonder why. It's wrong. It hurts. And it's taking so long to get better. But we can join the struggle. We keep on with hope because we know that justice is the way the world is going. We know how the world ends. The kingdom of God is growing. It's written into the pattern of creation. It underpins the direction of history. It's the irresistible logic, the driving rhythm, the heartbeat of all of eternity. The rule and reign of our perfect, just, merciful, loving, kind King Jesus is coming. And one day everyone will know it. And it looks like this, to take us back to Revelation. There before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." The kingdom of God grows. It's what it does. Get on board. Draw close to the King today. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that your kingdom is growing. That whatever it looks like to us, there is no power on earth that can stop your kingdom from growing. And thank you that your kingdom growing, your kingdom coming means justice and peace and unity. It means an end to our sin and an end to death. It means we can be with Jesus. And I pray, Father, this morning that we would feel the joy and the confidence of your coming kingdom, that we would wait patiently and work hard for it, that we would see it coming in our lives and in the lives of those around us and across the world. In Jesus' name, amen.